What's going on, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. What's going on, everybody? It's Louis DiBiase joining you on this special edition of the show. Been excited to really construct this episode of the podcast for a couple weeks now. I've done this for the past couple years on whatever platform I've been on. I like to simulate the offseason. I like to put on my Howie Roseman cap, and I kind of like to play GM and pretty much simulate the entire offseason because there's so much speculation about what this team could do when it comes to free agency. You know, we're all hooked on this mock draft simulator now on the Draft Network, you know, every single day, and it's awesome. It's so fun, too. It's part of why I really like the offseason. Of course, I miss watching football and watching the Eagles play, but, you know, the offseason is, you know, another beast in the NFL, and the NFL's done such a good job of making it like another season. So really exciting stuff. It's a really exciting time to be an Eagles fan, and they've had a busy couple days. You know, they extended Jason Kelce this weekend and Brandon Graham and Isaac Seumalo. They made decisions on Tim Jernigan. They restructured Lane Johnson. They're freeing up all this cap. I got into all those reports and the rumors about Duke Johnson and a Michael Bennett trade. So I did that podcast on Monday. You can check that out on LockedOnEagles.com or any of our podcast platforms. And then we also, yesterday, Gino was proud to have Andrew DiCiccio on of the Eagles Wire. And that was a really good podcast. They recapped the combine, got into any draft-related Eagles questions that the two could get into. Those two could have rattled, you know, so many prospects' names and just continued to get in-depth analysis for hours. But, you know, kind of condensed it to a 30-minute conversation, so you can always check that out as well on all our podcast platforms or on LockedOnEagles.com. Just tell Alexa, just tell Siri to play the Locked On Eagles podcast, and you'll find us. You'll hear me and Gino and our other co-hosts in Lars Lewis. So let's get into now what today's episode is all about. I'm going to simulate the offseason. Howie Roseman has done some interesting stuff already. I'm going to take the rest. I'm going to take on the rest here as he extended Kelce, Graham, Seumalo. It looks like right now they're going to have, when you account for Brandon Graham's cap hit in 2019, it seems like the Eagles are probably going to have around, I would say, $13 million in cap space right now with the $12 million they opened up combined between Kelce's extension and Lane Johnson's restructure. Take a little bit off from Brandon Graham. I think they're going to have around 13. Eventually, though, they could be even in the 20s because they haven't made decisions yet on Michael Bennett, Jason Peters, Nelson Aguilar, Chris Long. And it goes to show, guys, like we say it all the time on this show, and yet I still get people tweeting at me all the time, like the Eagles can't do this. They're going to have a problem doing this down the road. So today, people were worried about the dead money in a couple years because restructuring these deals with Lane Johnson and Rodney McLeod, Zach Ertz, and eventually that cap hit does come down the road. You turn the cap hit now into a signing bonus guaranteed money up front. It frees up the cap space now, but eventually that tolls over a couple years span where you do have to pay that on the books, on the cap hit, eventually. But don't worry about, like, to me, the only way, like, having a high payroll is not a bad thing when you have good players. I don't want $100 million in cap space and be like the New York Jets or the Buffalo Bills where you don't have any talent. Like, the Eagles don't have a lot of money to spend some of the time, or at least it seems like that, because they have such a high payroll, because they have so many good players. They're one of the most talented rosters in the entire NFL, let alone the NFC. So it's, first off, not bad to have this kind of situation on their hands. And a lot of people are saying, well, you know, yeah, they're going to have space now, but in a couple years, it's going to come back to bite them. Well, the only guys they really restructure these deals are players in their prime that they expect to be good down the road, like a Lane Johnson, even a Jason Kelce. Jason Kelce, it seems like he's getting better every single year. So the only time it's a bad thing with those dead cap hits is if you're paying a guy like Marcell Dareus to play for another team because you had to get that monstrous contract that was a bad contract. You have to get that off the books. Like, I expect the Eagles to get all these years from these players that they're restructuring. And then eventually, look, yeah, eventually those cap hits are going to come. But then you know what you can do? Like, I think this is a very sustainable strategy that Howie Roseman has of kicking the can down the road. Because then, young players right now that hit their primes, you can restructure those deals, give them guaranteed money up front, push that cap hit down the road. People are talking about, you know, Carson Wentz's extension. How are they going to get that done with all these cap hits tolling over the next couple years? I mean, even Carson Wentz is another one of those players where you don't have to front load the contract. Right, you can give him guaranteed money. You can even backload Wentz's deal until you get rid of all these other veteran contracts. So I love what Howie Roseman is doing. I don't think you ever need to worry about the cap. I think we've, you know, time and time again, even Joe Banner was talking about it today, how everyone was writing about it and wasting time speculating about how the Eagles weren't going to be able to do anything this offseason and looking like they're going to have over $20 million to spend this offseason. So I'm not worried about it at all. And I think, so this is going to start off our simulation. I think with their money situation, they don't need to do anything about Michael Bennett or Jason Peters. I think they should keep both. And it doesn't even need to be a restructure. They're way too valuable at offensive tackle and defensive end and defensive tackle for Michael Bennett, such a versatile player, that right now you could free up, you could get even more money by extending Nelson Agholor, getting that $9.5 million hit down, and then I would part ways with Chris Long over Michael Bennett. Chris Long is a $5.6 million cap hit, and he was already mulling retirement anyway. Even if he decides to come back for one more year, you could free up instead almost $6 million. And right there, you're looking at nearly $30 million this year to spend. So if you want to go after a Le'Veon Bell, you could do it. You can front load a Le'Veon Bell contract. I think Jeff Mosher was the one talking about it, of 97.3 ESPN South Jersey, saying how it's very doable now that if the Eagles want to invest money in Le'Veon Bell, they could do it. Or if they want to invest money in a big name free agent, they have that flexibility. So now let's see what they would do if I was the GM. Let's start off the simulation episode of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So we're going to start off, I'm keeping Jason Peters, even if he says no to a restructure. Way too good. We saw what even 80% of Jason Peters down the stretch last year could do to guys like Jadeveon Clowney, Aaron Donald, Dante Fowler, and Khalil Mack. I'm keeping him. I'm keeping Michael Bennett, 9.5 sack guy. I'm not just getting rid of him just for the sake of freeing up cap space. I think he's a player that can help right now at defensive tackle and defensive end. They have the cap flexibility to have both on the roster. I'm also going to hand out a contract extension to Nelson Agholor. I don't think the $9.5 million is a crazy hit for a player of his caliber, considering you look at guys like Albert Wilson, Dante Moncrief, Marquise Lee, Randall Cobb. There's a lot of, like, this is the price for number two receivers now is $8 to $10 million, and to me Agholor last year matched his 2017 production and should have had an even better year if it wasn't for Wentz's health and Golden Tate coming into the team and plays left on the field where Agholor burned a guy 20 yards down the field, 40 yards down the field, and the quarterback just went another way. He went to Zach Ertz. I think Nelson Agholor needs to stay here long term as a key piece. He's only 25 years old. You need young weapons like a Dallas Goedert and a Nelson Agholor for Carson Wentz to grow with down the road. So Tim Jernigan, they declined his option, freeing up $7 million on the cap. And while we've kind of been speculating back and forth whether he's going to come back to Philadelphia, I think even with the injury and maybe Jernigan being at his lowest value that he's been at the past couple years, I still think he's someone that could get a pretty sizable contract this year. A defensive tackle with pass rushing ability. I was talking about it on Monday. Very, very hot commodity, a very attractive trait in free agency where everybody gets overpaid. I'm cutting Chris Long. I'm going to free up $5.6 million. I'm going to move on there. I want to get younger at edge rusher, considering I'm keeping Bennett and I'm keeping Brandon Graham. I want to have another guy push Josh Sweat, see if we can get someone in the draft to compete with him as that fourth rotating defensive end, and then have Derek Barnett as well, that young core at edge rusher. So I'm going to say goodbye to Chris Long. Incredible player both on and off the field. An Eagles legend. Anyone to me that won the Super Bowl in 2017, I shouldn't say he's a legend, but definitely going to be remembered for the entirety of this franchise's history. I'm not bringing back Darren Sproles either, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to let Darren Sproles walk. I think it's time to get the do-it-all running backs in this rotation. I want my pass-catching running back, because if they keep Sproles, I feel like that's going to give them incentive to pass on a do-it-all type of back in the draft. And I want a guy on third down that you don't know if they're going to run, you don't know if they're going to pass. And I think keeping Darren Sproles is too simplistic. I think it's one-dimensional, and I think it's time to move on from Darren Sproles. So, look, I'm a guy that, yeah, I want to keep guys like Michael Bennett and Jason Peters. I want to keep some veterans that I know can still play. But at the same time, I think it's time to move on from some of these other veterans like Chris Long and Darren Sproles, where I think you can get younger filling those roles. Some free agents I'm letting walk: Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, and Jordan Hicks. I think they're all going to find better deals elsewhere. I think Darby, he's still young, has incredible speed for a corner.
While I don't think it really matched his performance on the field the past couple years, and the Eagles have tremendous depth at corner right now, five young, promising guys, I think he's going to get a deal worth at least $10-plus million. I mean, we see the Eagles are the first team to give out massive contracts to corners in the past. Byron Maxwell, Nnamdi Asamoah, we know what this position can get in free agency. They can get overpaid. And even Jay Ajayi, he just doesn't have the long-term health. You know, he already had degenerative knees before a torn ACL. And I like Ajayi. I think he was productive on the field, but they got to get healthier, too, at that position. You saw it last year. They were down to Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, and Darren Sproles. And then Jordan Hicks, look, second highest-rated coverage linebacker since 2015. Even with the injuries, much like I was talking about with Tim Jernigan, Hicks, a coverage linebacker, that's what you need now, is linebackers that can cover in space. Hicks is going to get a pretty good deal elsewhere. And even if the money was close, why would he come back? His role reduced significantly last year as Nigel Bradham took over down the stretch as that every-down linebacker. And the Eagles shouldn't overpay for Hicks. They only use two linebackers on the field, you know, half the time. Even three linebackers, they almost rarely use in base situations. And they have Kamu Grugier-Hill. I think you could address it in the draft. I think there's some interesting free agent options that are going to be cheaper than Hicks. I think Hicks as well is going to get a better deal in free agency. So I'm going to let those three walk. And then right there, I have $20 million at least in cap range heading into free agency. And that's what we're getting into next on this offseason simulation edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Free agency time. Let's see what we can do with this money and soup up the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, Eagles fans, welcome back into the offseason simulation edition of this Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So let's continue. We first segment did some more in-house cleaning of the roster. We let Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, and Jordan Hicks walk into free agency. We parted ways with Darren Sproles and Chris Long. Tim Jernigan found a better deal elsewhere. We gave Nelson Aguilar a contract extension, and we kept Michael Bennett and Jason Peters around for another couple years because they had, or at least one more year, because the Eagles have that cap flexibility where they don't have to get rid of either guy, even if they don't agree to restructures. It is now time for the free agency portion of this podcast. Offseason simulation. First move, as Howie Roseman here. Eagles trade for Cleveland Browns running back Duke Johnson for a fifth-round draft pick. I think the Eagles are going to address running back both in free agency and in the draft, and Duke Johnson is the prototypical Howie Roseman type of player to trade for. 25 years old, fell out of favor in Cleveland because nothing that he did on the field. He's producing over 100 receptions the past 2 years. They brought in Kareem Hunt. They drafted Nick Chubb in the second round last year, and he played really well. So it's a guy that fell out of favor only because of the other talent on the roster. He's not making much yet. They signed him to a 3-year extension just a year ago in the summer. So plenty of time to develop for Johnson. And he's better than just a pass-catching running back. To me, way more versatile than a guy like Darren Sproles. Bigger, more efficient in the run game, and can actually make plays down the field as a receiver, you know, lining up in the slot and making contested catches. That's not something Darren Sproles can do. Great addition is that number two guy with Corey Clement and then a rookie who I'm going to draft in our mock draft portion of this offseason simulation podcast. Other moves in free agency. I'm signing John Brown. I'm going to watch the DeSean Jackson situation, see what Tampa Bay wants to do with that. He's not going to take a pay cut, does not get along with Jameis Winston. Bruce Arians wants to keep him, but this is kind of my plan B, is if DeSean stays in Tampa Bay or wants big money elsewhere, I'm signing John Brown from Baltimore. Extremely efficient down the field last year as the Ravens' deep threat. Was the only productive receiver in a vanilla scheme. What he could do in this Eagles offense, you know, it's kind of similar to what he did in that Cardinals offense a couple years ago, where he had over 1,000 yards in Bruce Arians' offense. I think he could do that again this year, not with, you know, the numbers of 1,000 yards, but in Philadelphia, could be a perfect deep threat to complement Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. And down the stretch, he kind of tailored off because Lamar Jackson's inaccuracies really hurt John Brown's production down the field. But if you saw him and Joe Flacco clicking in the first half of the season, that's a guy that me and Gino have been kind of pounding the table for the Eagles to sign this offseason. And then I'm bringing in two Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bo Allen's going to return. I think he's going to be a cap casualty for Tampa Bay, who's trying to clear up a lot of cap space, trying to move forward here in 2019. They have about, I think, $16 million in cap space right now. But I think Bo Allen's a guy that would be better suited in a rotational defensive tackle role in Philadelphia. He was great in that role before when the Eagles drafted him out of Wisconsin. another magical backup quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Much like Nick Foles, not to the level of Nick Foles, but Fitzpatrick is a guy that in a spot, he needs to be your spot starter in a situation where he just needs to get you maybe one win or two wins. He can do that. Let's just look at the start of the season he had last year where he was leading the league in passing, blowing up against the Saints and Philadelphia, and he just dominated. So I think Ryan Fitzpatrick will be a good guy to bring in and compete with Nate Sudfeld. Other moves in free agency, I'm signing LJ Fort, the Steelers linebacker. 2018, he had 48 tackles. Coverage linebacker to replace Hicks, led special teams in snaps for Pittsburgh. He had a punt block, a field goal block, a defensive touchdown. He was graded the number two inside linebacker in the AFC North by Pro Football Focus. I think more opportunities would equal more success for a guy like LJ Fort, who is a much more cost-efficient linebacker replacement for Jordan Hicks. Because again, the Eagles run three safeties and three corners way more than they run even, regardless of three linebackers. They don't even run two linebackers all that much because Malcolm Jenkins is kind of playing in that role. So, free agent signings for the Eagles. Sign John Brown. Sign Bo Allen. Sign Ryan Fitzpatrick. Sign LJ Fort. And then we trade for Duke Johnson from the Cleveland Browns. I think that's a great free agency for Howie Roseman. And trades getting in Duke Johnson. A lot of complimentary pieces. And they're not breaking the bank on anybody, which is a good move. They pay their in-house talent, and then a lot of these guys are perfect complements on offense with John Brown and Duke Johnson. That's a lot of speed and a lot of danger after the catch or after the run on offense for those guys. And then you get deeper at defensive tackle with Bo Allen replacing Tim Jernigan. You get LJ Fort to kind of rotate with Camus and maybe a rookie, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick pushes Nate Sudfeld for that number two quarterback spot. All right, guys, next up on the offseason simulation portion of the Locked On Eagles podcast, we're getting into the draft now. A lot of picks in the 2019 draft for Philadelphia to stockpile with young, cheap talent. Let's see what we can do with that next, right here on Locked On Eagles. Welcome back into the Locked On Eagles podcast. It's the off-season simulation episode. Really excited to continue this to recap what we did in the first two segments. We kept Jason Peters and Michael Bennett. We let Chris Long, Darren Sproles, and Tim Jernigan go, as well as pending free agents in Ronald Darby, Jay Ajayi, and Jordan Hicks. Howie Roseman already gave extensions out to Jason Kelsey, Brandon Graham, and Isaac Seumalo. Then in free agency, we're signing some great complementary pieces on both offense and defense. We traded for Duke Johnson. The Eagles signed John Brown as the third receiver, that deep threat that the Eagles are missing on the outside. They signed Bo Allen to replace Tim Jernigan as a rotational defensive tackle, which I think is the perfect role for him. And of course, Jim Schwartz knows him, and Allen was extremely productive in Philadelphia in 2017. Then they bring in, they try to hit magic again at the backup quarterback position, signing Ryan Fitzpatrick, and then we add another rotational linebacker in LJ Fort from Pittsburgh, an underrated, unknown guy. If you don't know him, he's a great coverage linebacker. He's a player that's really good on special teams, which the Eagles are losing Chris Maragos. They need to replenish talent on special teams as well. As a guy that's going to be a lot cheaper than Jordan Hicks, who I think, despite the injuries, is still going to command a lot of money, I think LJ Fort is a nice low-tier signing for Philadelphia. So just a bunch of underrated guys in free agency that the Eagles aren't going to have to spend a lot of money on. And I think they're all going to, I mean, John Brown and Duke Johnson in that offense, like, sign me up. I think those are perfect pieces to a rotation at running back and as that third receiver and fifth pass catcher for Philadelphia. All right, now we're getting into the mock draft portion of our off-season simulation, and I'm excited to start this one off because, of course, we have our flagship show, Locked On The Mock, every week where me and Gino go through a 7-round mock draft for the Eagles. But now this is going to be my official one that if I was Howie Roseman, this is what I would do. It's sponsored by the Draft Network's Mock Draft Simulation. You can check out all the Draft Network stuff, incredible draft coverage. We got their podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network on The Draft Dudes, which you can check out as well on any podcast platform. So we're up here in the first round at pick 25. I'm battling between two guys here, Jeffrey Simmons of Mississippi State and Josh Jacobs of Alabama. And I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs of Alabama, the running back that I think would be a perfect fit in this Eagles offense. A guy that he's got the power of Derrick Henry. He's got the receiving ability of Alvin Kamara. While he's not the Saquon Barkley type prospect in this draft, you add Josh Jacobs with Duke Johnson and Corey Clement. That's what the Eagles have been really missing on offense since LeSean McCoy got traded, is a legit do-it-all weapon in the backfield to pair up with Carson Wentz. and Josh Jacobs, he can play in the slot. You could have, there's situations where Duke Johnson can play receiver a lot too. You could have Duke Johnson and Josh Jacobs on the field at the same time. I'm in love with the possibilities that Doug Peterson could have with Josh Jacobs, Duke Johnson, and then you sign John Brown in free agency. That offense would be deeper than anybody in the league. Second round here, pick 53. I'm going with Charles Omenihu, defensive tackle slash defensive end out of Texas. Can play both. Played both really well at Texas. Another versatile piece. You line up him with Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, Michael Bennett, and Derek Barnett. Oh boy. 9.5 sacks last year, 6'6", 275 pounds, incredible length and power. He's a guy you can rotate again at both while you kind of transition from Bennett and Graham in a couple years to the young pass rushers. Omenihu could be an option at both DT and defensive end. There could be times where you move him outside and you kick Bo Allen inside, or you can have him inside on third downs, and that's an extremely scary pass rushing combo inside of Fletcher Cox and Charles Omenihu. I'd be running to the podium if Omenihu is available at pick 53. So we're up again at pick 57 here. And so we've gone running back and interior defensive line slash defensive end with Charles Omenihu, a great versatile piece. He's really one of my favorite prospects in this draft. Him and Jacobs, I would be all over this class so far. Next up at pick 57, we're going with Taylor Rapp, a safety out of Washington. Athletic guy, great in coverage, made some incredible plays on the ball last year. Not only with 7 interceptions in his career at Washington, but he had like 8.5 sacks throughout his career too there. The Eagles don't blitz a lot, but he has that ability as well. Kind of is like Avante Maddox, where you wouldn't expect him to be a big hitter, but Taylor Rapp has incredible tackling ability as well. The Eagles need a young safety to eventually take over for Malcolm Jenkins and Roddy McLeod. Taylor Rapp is a great start to that. So the Eagles don't have a pick in the third round. I expect Howie Roseman to try to get back in there, but for the sake of this mock draft, we're going to stick with the picks they have, and we're going to go to 127th overall. And I'm going with DeMarcus Lodge, the receiver out of Ole Miss. You know, they had A.J. Brown there in Ole Miss as well. They had D.K. Metcalf. But DeMarcus Lodge was kind of that deep threat guy, that incredible vertical speed. And I think you could have him come in, compete with John Brown, compete with Matt Collins and Shelton Gibson. He would be a great fourth receiver if Jordan Matthews is a guy that you cannot retain in free agency. And I think you add, you know, John Brown's 28 years old. He's not the oldest player, but maybe John Brown, you give him a couple-year deal, and eventually DeMarcus Lodge could take over in that role. I think at 127, that's tremendous value for a very dangerous deep threat in DeMarcus Lodge. One of the first guys when I was looking for a deep threat to add in the draft this year, Lodge was one of the first guys I watched that really stuck out to me. And at pick 138, we're going with a edge rusher that's pretty raw, but pretty explosive and pretty athletic, a lot like Josh Sweat out of Florida State last year, and it's Joe Jackson out of Miami. I think it's good to double down here on defensive ends because I think Omenihu can play that role as well, but if you want Omenihu at defensive tackle, I do think you should get another guy in here to push Josh Sweat as that fourth pass rusher, because in this scenario, we let Chris Long walk, and I think Joe Jackson at this pick at 138, another great value pick here. Very athletic, very raw, but definitely produced at Miami. 163 now. Got a couple more picks to go here. I'm going with another offensive tackle, and I'm taking Oli Udoh. I think this is a guy that could, with Jordan Mailata, I'm still very curious to see what Jordan Mailata is going to be. I'm not giving up on him as a prospect, especially considering the start and the finish to the preseason he had last year. Brian Baldinger said that he's never seen a football player improve more over a four-month span than Mailata did last summer. Bring in another raw prospect like Udoh, incredible wingspan, length, athleticism, another raw prospect. You hope one of those two guys can eventually take over for Jason Peters. If not, you have Halipuli Vaivaitai as an insurance policy. Not a great one, but you have that guy that was on a starting lineup for a Super Bowl champion. And then our last two picks, I rounded up at pick 197 with DeMarcus Christmas, another interior defensive lineman. You're going to need more depth there. You get him there with Trayvon Hester competing for roster spots. Another guy with great pass rush ability, a great bull rush move up the middle, and quarterbacks absolutely hate that. And then at 208, we wrap up the sixth round with Ryan Finley, a quarterback out of NC State. I think the Eagles eventually are going to try to take another quarterback to develop, much like they took a chance on Nate Sudfeld, picking him up off waivers, and that has really paid off for the Eagles. So our mock draft, we went with Josh Jacobs in the first round out of Alabama, running back. That's my favorite pick this is the guy that I really want. And I think you guys can all tell if you've been listening to the show. Pick 53 in the second round, we got Charles Menihue, the versatile defensive lineman out of Texas. Then, four picks later, we take Taylor Rapp out of Washington, the safety. They really need safety help because eventually McLeod's got one more year on his deal and Malcolm Jenkins is on the other side of 30. And they love to use safeties more so than linebackers and even corners. Taylor Rapp would be a very key piece to the Eagles' defense moving forward. Then in the fourth round, DeMarcus Lodge and Joe Jackson, receiver, deep threat, compete with John Brown and Matt Collins. Joe Jackson, another raw edge rusher. Hope you can mold him or Josh Sweat to be future rotational pieces at defensive end. Then we take another raw offensive tackle in Oli Udoh, hoping that he can compete with Jordan Mailata and see what you can get out of those two. And then at the end of the draft, we took DeMarcus Christmas, defensive tackle out of Florida State, and Ryan Finley, the quarterback out of NC State. If this is their draft class, like, I was surprised a lot of these guys fell to me. I was surprised Menihue was there at 53. I was surprised Taylor Rapp was there at 57. And even Joe Jackson and DeMarcus Lodge at pick 127 and 138, to me, is tremendous value. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this off-season simulation edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Let me know what you think. See if you would have did some stuff differently. Would you have cut Chris Long? Would you have extended Nelson Aguilar? Would you have kept Jason Peters? Would you have taken Josh Jacobs in the first round? What about free agent signings? Was there someone that I missed that you would really want for Philadelphia? Was there someone that I signed that you're not really into? Drop us a line on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, or at DiBiase, L-O-E. I'm going to post this in written form as well on LockedOnEagles.com. But for now, thank you for joining me. I know this was a much anticipated podcast because it's fun. Again, we live for speculation in the offseason, and I hope that this kind of gave you an outlook of something that you'd really like the Eagles do if you're Howie Roseman this offseason. For now, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and let's go, Birds!